views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
This show's audio was via a Skype call. Take the leap with Rudy Racine as you listen to the Higher Learners Career and Leadership Series. This show targets anyone looking to advance their careers and further develop their leadership skills. Rudy Racine is a certified coach, entrepreneur, motivational speaker, and the founder and CEO of Higher Learners. In this show, Rudy will introduce listeners to professionals and executives in a variety of industries while discussing the challenges that tend to stand in the way of career growth and advancement. Learn how to craft your personal definition of success with the right mix of focus and motivation. Higher Learners is putting minds to work.
What's up, everyone? This is Rudy Racine, and you are listening to the Higher Learners podcast on Transformation Talk Radio. Stay with us for the next hour as we discuss five lessons in leadership. So you want to get promoted or you want to grow in your leadership role, this is the episode for you to listen to. Pay attention to us each first and third Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern time, and we will discuss topics to sharpen your skills and get you to the next level in your career. So let's get it started. So you want to get promoted. I've come up with a few quotes and or principles that I use in my career and that I've used throughout my career to help me grow into a leadership position and have helped me to excel. So I'm going to go through each individual quote, write them down, and I encourage you to interact with me via social media to discuss some of these quotes if you're interested to. You can reach me at Higher Learners on Facebook. That's at H-I-R-E Learners. Or Instagram, at Higher Learners on Instagram as well. So the first quote is don't confuse effort with results. Don't confuse effort with results. So the reason this quote is important to me as a leader and the reason it's been important throughout my career is because I've managed a number of teams and a number of employees that will often come to me and They work hard, and every team I've ever managed has worked extremely hard. And oftentimes these employees, because of their hard work, they want to grow, they want to get promoted. And I don't think that that's something that the average person doesn't want to do. Most people want to grow in their careers. But oftentimes what ends up happening is they focus heavily on their effort and they pay very little attention to the results that they're producing. And as a leader and as a manager, when leading a team, it's imperative that you focus not only on the effort that the team is providing, but also the results that they're producing. Results are so important. That is monetary results. That is metrics. All of those things, all of those numbers that impact the performance of your team, impact the performance of your organization. So if you are in a staff position or an entry-level position and you are looking to grow into a leadership role, it's very important that you pay attention to those numbers. Even if you're not a numbers person, each employee, when you're working for an organization, has specific goals. And if you work for an organization that does not have clear goals, clear numerical or quantitative goals, it's imperative that you find out or ask for those goals so that you can work towards achieving them and exceeding them. Because once you do that, then you will have content, you will have substance, you'll be able to justify a promotion. So, for example, if you're working at a company and you are there every morning at 7 a.m. When you're scheduled to be there at 9, and you're working there till 7 p.m. when you're scheduled to work until 5, but your effort is there. You're clearly getting in early and you're leaving late. But then when you look at your performance, your numbers, say, for example, you're in a sales position. And your sales are lower than or you're selling less than what you're expected to sell. So you're falling short of your goal. It's very difficult to argue that you should be promoted. I know, you know, the effort is important, but when you're trying to make a case to leadership, when you're trying to make a case to your organization, it's imperative that you're also able to justify that promotion with numbers to back you up. So remember that quote. Don't confuse effort with results. Effort is important. Results are just as important. A second quote that we will discuss tonight is maturity is lengthening the time between impulse and action. Maturity is lengthening the time between impulse and action. So why is this important? So as a leader, it is important that you are setting an example for your team, and you know, you set an example for the people around you, and you're giving everyone an example to follow. And sometimes when you work within an organization, when you work with a team, you're spending more time with your team members, with your coworkers, than you are with your family. So there will be peaks and valleys. There will be highs and lows. And sometimes someone will say something or do something that rubs you the wrong way. And that's where maturity comes into play, right? So it's important that you take this quote to heart and you internalize it, because being able to demonstrate that maturity, being able to lengthen the time between impulse and action, will help prevent blowups, will help prevent difficult times between you and your fellow colleagues and your fellow staff members. It is imperative that you kind of work on demonstrating that maturity, because those are two things. So maturity and just being able to quantify your results are two things that most organizations will look for in a leader. I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this as well. So maturity is lengthening the time between impulse and action. Maturity is a big component. It's a big characteristic that's needed for any leader in any organization. If you go into an organization as a leader, or if you're trying to grow into an organization as a leader, and you jump on any interaction with a coworker or a staff member or a colleague, and you feel like you have to address everything right then and there without taking the time to really process what went on and, you know, evaluate the different sides that might be, you know, that might have been affected, those are two things that you want to work on. So developing that maturity, developing that ability to take a step back and evaluate what went on between everyone, including yourself. Consider how you are perceiving the situation, how someone else might perceive it. Think about what might have prompted them to do whatever they did. There are a number of different examples that I can share. But as I said, the most common one is just a dust up or something that was said where one person thought that they were being professional and the other person did not receive that as professionalism. So in those instances, it's important that you focus on developing that maturity and being able to take some time in between being impulsive and taking action, and instead processing, assessing, thinking about where the other person stood. All right, so we have two quotes that we've discussed so far. The first is, don't confuse effort with results, and maturity is lengthening the time between impulse and action. And all of these are subjective, right? So what does subjective mean? Subjective means it varies depending on an individual's opinion, right? So when I talked about confusing effort with results, you know, someone thinking that they are working hard, if I'm an employee and I think, oh, I'm working really hard, and my manager comes to me and says, I need you to work harder, that shows that there is a disconnect between the manager and you as the employee, right? So if your manager tells you that you need to work harder, the follow-up question from your perspective needs to be, well, you know, what does that mean? You know, what exactly are you looking for me to do? And try your best to quantify that. If your manager doesn't provide you with a numerical goal, work with your manager to kind of come up with a numerical goal that you can both be on the same page on. Because if your manager says, I need you to work harder, and you internalize that and you say, all right, I'm going to work harder, then the following week you come back and your manager says, I need you to work harder again. And you know that you just increased sales by 5. But your manager in this case may have assumed that working harder meant increasing your sales by 10. So there needs to be some clarity there to discuss exactly what it is your manager is looking for. And if you are the manager, be prepared to provide that clarity to your team, right? So if you're telling employees that they need to work harder, they need to do more, they need to do be a little less less anxious, or whatever subjective feedback that you're giving them, it's very important as a leader that you also provide them with some clear information, even metrics, even that allows you and your employee, or if you're the employee, you and your manager, to be on the same page at all times. All right. So we talked about confusing effort with results. We talked about maturity. We are going to take a break. You are listening to the Higher Learners podcast with Rudy Racine. As I said, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll continue to explore 5 lessons in leadership. We've gone over 2 so far. Stay tuned. We will be right back. And before you go, don't hesitate to follow us on Instagram at Higher Learners. That's H-I-R-E Learners. And also on Facebook at Higher Learners. And also on Twitter. That's at Higher_Learners. And remember, Higher is spelled H-I-R-E _Learners. And with that said, my friends, we will be right back.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
If you're dealing with fear and anxiety, you've probably noticed that the more you fight these emotions, the stronger they seem to get. Dr. Friedemann Schaub, the author of The Fear and Anxiety Solution, explains that instead of suppressing, we need to identify and resolve the deeper, subconscious root causes of fear and anxiety. His personal breakthrough program has helped thousands worldwide to overcome their emotional challenges. To learn more, visit thefearandanxietysolution.com and schedule your free consultation with Dr. Schaub now.
Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to transformationradio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone, guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform. We are transforming the world, one listener at a time.
Be you plus live your purpose equals joy. That's the motto of Unstuck Joy with Vicki Todd. Vicki believes you were born with gifts that are meant to make the world brighter. Each show will feature an art visioning journal prompt to help you create your way to soul clarity. If you're ready to get unstuck and create more joy, this show is for you.
Tune in the first and third Tuesday at 3 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio. For more information, visit VickiWorldArt.com.
A word of caution, if you prefer the status quo and you are not interested in improving every aspect of your life, this book will trigger the shift out of you. The Truth is Funny, Shift Happens is available now. Author Colette Steffen brings the powerful knowledge and life-changing energy and empowerment from the radio airwaves to the pages of her new book. To get your copy in paperback or ebook, visit thetruthisfunny.com today.
Tune in to the hit show, Raging Skillet Radio, Mouthing Off with Chef Rossi. Chef Rossi mouths off about different subjects in pursuit of breaking down walls and opening up your minds. She and Dr. Pat banter back and forth, taking from the headlines of the day on subjects that reach beyond what goes on in the world into your hearts. And go to theragingskillet.com to find out more and let Chef Rossi know what's on your mind.
We are back on the Higher Learners podcast with Rudy Racine. Today we are talking 5 lessons in leadership. All right. So you want to grow into a leadership position, or you want to grow in your current leadership position. So we're sharing some valuable information for professionals looking to grow in their roles. So in the earlier segment, we talked about not confusing effort with results. We also talked about maturity and how maturity is lengthening the time between impulse and action. The next lesson that we're going to share, or that I'm going to discuss, is learning to build relationships. So you want to learn to build relationships and manage from a place of concern. As a leader, oftentimes new leaders are thrust into positions and they don't know how to build a relationship with their team. So what they end up doing is they rely on their title to build a relationship with team members. And although relying on your title, so saying I am the director or I am the senior vice president or I am the manager and you have to listen to me, although that may work with some staff, and sometimes it works with some staff for a little while, that relationship or that authority, it's difficult to sustain because it's almost like managing from a place of fear. And an effective leader is one that is able to manage without having to rely on fear and rely on your title. It's more the ability to rely on influence, being able to influence the people on your team, and also to build a relationship and a connection with them where you know what it is that inspires them. You know what motivates them. So you're able to use that information. You have that connection with them, and you're able to use that information to manage from a place of concern and connection, right? And beyond that, so we talked about in our last podcast episode, we talked about the five methods of motivation and the different languages that can be used to motivate your team. So if you haven't heard that podcast episode, I recommend checking it out. But managing from a place of connection really helps you as the leader identify what it is that motivates your team. And then if you, in the event that you find out that they are struggling in an area or you see that their numbers are down or their performance is not where it used to be. So, you know, the last couple of months may have been poor performance. And now you see that there's some change there and their performance seems to be dropping or just lacking in certain areas. As a manager that approaches or manages from a place of concern, the first question you want to ask, and many of you probably already do this or have seen a manager do this, is, you know, what's going on? Is everything okay? Right? But being genuine with that question. So if you're just asking that question before you pounce, employees can see right through that. You want to ask that question from a place of concern and from a place of basically being genuine. They want to feel, you want them to feel like you are actually concerned. The best way to do that, and in order for you to do that effectively, is to be consistent as a genuine manager. So don't just ask if everything is okay. And ask about your employee, how they're doing when you find that they are not performing. All right. So as a leader, one of the easiest things you can do is on a daily basis, asking them how their day is going and listening intuitively and listening and acknowledging what you're hearing when you listen to what they're saying. Doing that will allow you to establish a better rapport with your team. It also gives you the ability to reference back to different things that they might share with you. So if they talk about their day being great today, if things are not going so well on Friday, it gives you an opportunity to say, hey, what's going on? Is everything okay? I know when we spoke on Tuesday, things were great. So what's changed between Tuesday and today? So it gives you a reference point and it reminds the employee that you actually care. Doing that will help you to maintain a rapport with that employee. And even if you don't have that rapport on day one, your first week, your first month managing this employee, if you approach it consistently and manage consistently from a place of concern, it will allow you to be a little bit more effortless in those conversations. Because sometimes those difficult conversations do arise when you have an employee whose performance is suffering. And the frustration that that employee might be feeling or might be experiencing is normal, right? So if they're a top performing employee, or if they just normally perform at a decent level on a daily basis, just imagine how they're feeling if they're accustomed to performing at a high level and then all of a sudden their performance starts to drop off. So know that, acknowledge that feeling that they might be experiencing as well, and do your best not to come at them from a place of blame or a place accusing them. So you might one day see them not at their desk or away from their desk longer than normal. Normal, longer than you're accustomed to seeing them away from their desk. So a novice supervisor or a novice manager might automatically refer to their not being at their desk for extended periods of time as what might be affecting their performance. You never want to assume. Right? You never want to assume. You want to give the employee the benefit of the doubt. You want to give them the opportunity to talk to you about what's going on. And you know, it will give you that opportunity to really have that connection with them. And then that will create opportunities for you to give realistic and genuine feedback and constructive criticism. I'm not telling you to ignore giving constructive criticism. I'm not telling you to not do it. But when you manage an employee and you are able to manage from a place of concern and you genuinely care for their performance, you care for their growth, their ability to grow within your organization, it's a much easier conversation to have. And for those of you listening that are not in a leadership position now, you don't have to wait to be in a leadership position to practice being genuine and practice caring for employees. This is something that you can start to do today or tomorrow in your office, right? So if you have a coworker that you see that doesn't seem to be performing at a high level or doesn't seem to be doing what they're accustomed to do, you can also come from a place of concern. That will actually put you in a position where you stand out in a leadership capacity. Even though you may not have that title, the fact that you're concerned for your coworkers, it shows that you're taking a leadership role. When you ask your coworker, is everything okay? You were kicking butt last month, and this month, you know, this is not like you. What's going on? Is everything okay? Asking that question as a coworker may or may not be received well by everyone, but it shows that you are concerned. And once again, being genuine is the key to all of this, because if you're ingenuine, if you are not genuine when you are having these conversations and it seems phony, most employees can spot a phony manager from a mile away. And what it ends up doing is when you seem phony, it actually has the opposite effect on your team. So if you're trying to connect, but you're phony with your approach, that connection is even more difficult to establish because you are phony and your employee can kind of see through that. So give it a try, practice. And if you are asking an employee for the first time how things are going, or asking an employee for the first time if everything's okay, you can acknowledge that too. You can point out the fact, listen, you know, in the 6 months that I've been managing you, I don't think I've ever asked you if everything is okay. So I just want to point out, I really want to build this relationship and I really want to try to help you. I'm trying to improve in my leadership. So if there's something that I need to do differently, I encourage you to ask me or tell me. But for now, I just want to know, is everything okay? Because I'm accustomed to you performing at such a high level. And this last week or this last month, this isn't like you. And I want to see if there's anything that I can do to help. So yeah, that is lesson number 3. All right. Coming from a place of concern, managing and building relationships with your team. The next lesson, and we'll probably go into break discussing this lesson, but it's also a very important one, and it also refers to coming from a place of concern, right? So lesson 4 is a quote that many of you have heard before. I'm sure of it. It's, there are 3 sides to every story: your side, their side, and the truth. But to add to that, I'm going to add that there is a 4th side that's always true, but often overlooked. And that's how the situation made you feel and how the situation made your employee feel. All right. So this is something that comes up very often with employees, where, you know, as a manager, I can say that I've often been faced with 2 or 3 employees in my office, and they had a falling out, they had a disagreement or an argument or something that's just affecting the team morale. And when I ask each individual what happened, the story is different. All right, the story is often different between each individual involved. All right. So that's where that there are 3 sides to every story comes into play, because it's the one employee side, the other employee side, and the truth. But then the 4th side is how they felt. All right. So if you have 2 employees that had a disagreement and one employee felt disrespected and the other employee felt like the employee that felt disrespected was unprofessional, If I'm the judge and I'm listening to the stories, I may be able to say, all right, well, yeah, I can see how one employee was unprofessional and I can see how one employee was disrespectful. But what's most important is that each employee knows what it is they did to make that other employee feel disrespected or feel or make that other employee feel like they were being unprofessional. So we're going to dive deeper into that topic after the break, but we're going to take a quick break. You are listening to the Higher Learners Podcast with Rudy Racine. When we come back, we'll continue to explore the five lessons in leadership, specifically this three sides to every story, actually a fourth side being overlooked. And once again, be sure to follow us on social media at Higher Learners on Instagram. That's H-I-R-E Learners, L-E-A-R-N-E-R-S, and at Higher Learners on Facebook and on Twitter at Higher_Learners. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Tune in to Mainstream Metaphysics Radio to harness your connection with the universe to effect change for optimal success and happiness. Named one of the country's top psychics, Eve now brings her insights and gifts to this weekly hit call-in show, joined by visionaries, leaders, and gifted others, but mostly you. Jot it down, Thursdays, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Interested in deepening your spiritual practice? The School for Esoteric Studies offers online training to spiritual seekers from all paths of life and individual coaching. Our courses synthesize Eastern and Western spiritual traditions based on meditation, study, and service applied to everyday life. To learn more about our courses and services, please visit www.esotericstudies.net.
The truth is funny. Shift Happens with Colette Marie Steffen is excited to welcome Karen Benton as a monthly guest host. Tune in on the third Wednesday of each month at 8 a.m. Pacific Time to regain confidence and trust in your capacity to create change in your life, your health, your family, and your well-being. Karen Benton is a mother, nurse practitioner, certified body talk practitioner, Franklin Method instructor, and owner of Limitless Living LLC. For more information about Karen, visit KarenBenton.com.
In this day and age, if you don't reinvent yourself, you may never find balance, peace, and the sustainable life that is your birthright. Angela Watson Robertson, known as the Reinvention Warrior and the host of breakthrough radio show Masters of Reinvention, is here to help you reinvent every area of your life. Tune in and hear from the best in the personal transformation business and discover tips and tools for positive change. Live every month on Transformation Talk Radio.
Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to transformationradio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone, guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform. We are transforming the world, one listener at a time.
Choose the new earth on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio as Cornelia takes listeners on an odyssey of higher consciousness to inspire, educate, and empower. Cornelia guides people on the path of self-healing, peace, and liberation. The Cornelia Stephanie Show is your catalyst for anchoring heaven on earth on a global scale. For more information, go to CorneliaStephanie.com.
We are back on the Higher Learners Podcast with Rudy Racine. Today we are talking about five lessons in leadership. So you want to grow into a leadership position, or you want to grow from your current leadership position. These are five lessons that you want to internalize to help you to excel in your role as a leader, or to help you to grow into a leadership role. Before I go on, just a quick reminder, please join me every first and third Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern and 12 p.m. Pacific on the Higher Learners Podcast. So let's recap what we've gone over so far. We talked about confusing effort with results. We said don't confuse effort with results. You want to focus on results. Although you might be working hard, working hard is subjective. So you want to make sure you focus more heavily on the results that you produce to ensure that your hard work is producing quality results. We said maturity is lengthening the time between impulse and action. So a leader, an effective leader, is one that doesn't get baited into an argument and takes the time to process what's going on and decreases their inclination to respond to situations impulsively and to kind of jump into the fray without really assessing how everyone else might be feeling in the situation and how everyone else might be viewing the situation. So maturity, very key. We talked about learning to build relationships and managing from a place of concern rather than a place of blame. All right. So taking the time to ask your employees what's going on and really showing them that you care about what might be going on with them when you are addressing different areas that might be struggling, they might be struggling in. And before we went to break, we talked about the three sides to every story, but in reality, there being a fourth side. All right. So we said there are three sides to every story, your side, their side, and the truth. But that fourth side that is always true and often overlooked, that is the side that each individual is feeling or how someone is feeling during that situation. All right. So their description of the story may be very different from one end to the next, but how they feel in that situation is how they're feeling. And there's no arguing a feeling. All right. So if I feel disrespected, no matter what 100 people in the room may feel, and they may say that they wouldn't feel disrespected in a situation. If I feel disrespected, it's the manager's responsibility to figure out what went on to make that employee feel disrespected. All right. Because if they don't tap into what it is that makes that employee feel disrespected, then they'll never know and they'll never be able to manage this person effectively without them feeling disrespected. As a manager, I can tell you that oftentimes I'm faced with employees that come to complain about a manager and they say that they don't feel like their manager supported them. They don't feel supported by their manager, right? And sometimes it's just the approach of that manager. It's the approach that manager takes to support the employee. The employee just doesn't feel it. They don't feel it because of that approach. So it's the manager's responsibility to kind of adjust how they approach that employee in the situation to make that employee not only feel supported, but also be able to manage them effectively and manage their performance. It's a tight rope to walk on from the manager's perspective. And it's not something that you'll pick up very quickly. It's rare that a manager will go into a new leadership role and be able to do this, to be able to not put themselves in a situation, not to opine and assess how they might feel in a situation versus how their employee feels. I can talk about situations when I managed an employee and I was like, I don't know why they felt upset. I don't know what's going on with them. They shouldn't feel upset. All right. So that's me. By saying that as a manager, you shouldn't feel upset. You shouldn't feel disrespected. You're telling an employee how they should feel. And that's not your place, right? We don't know what's going on internally for that employee. So instead of telling them how they should feel or how they should respond, it's the manager's responsibility to try to understand the feelings, understand the employee. When you're able to do that, you've tapped into a huge key as a manager. It's being able to really understand your team. All right. So that was lesson number four. Lesson number five, a biggie, and it's been one that's stayed with me throughout my career. Professionally, even before I was a leader, before I became a manager, and grew in my career. That is a quote that I heard from a candidate that I was interviewing once. I asked this candidate, I said, give me an example of a time where you received constructive criticism from your supervisor. And this candidate told me, he said, I remember my manager told me that tact is the art of making a point without making an enemy. All right. And I Googled that quote. Isaac Newton said that. Tact is the art of making a point without making an enemy. So think about that, right? Whenever you talk to your coworkers or you're having a conversation, you want to deliver constructive criticism or feedback. The best way to do it is the way that you can communicate that feedback without creating an enemy. So The best way to do that is to be tactful. All right. So being tactful is easier said than done. If you feel like you were tactful, but the results of that conversation or the results of the feedback you delivered resulted in that employee being upset or irate or frustrated, then it's likely that although you deemed it to be tactful, you deemed your approach to be tactful, it's likely that the employee did not agree with you in your assessment of your tactful approach. So once again, I feel like I keep on repeating this point, but as a manager, when you're in a leadership position, you have to adapt to your staff. Your staff should not have to adapt to you. I know it feels like your staff should have to adapt to you because you're a leader, you're a manager, you're a supervisor, you're a vice president, you're a director, whatever your title is. I've come across a number of leaders that feel like, all right, I made it to this point in my career. I have a team now and they have to fall in line. All right. If you're in the military, maybe that works. All right. But within a professional organization, when you're dealing with human beings with feelings and emotions, the ability to adapt and really understand your employees and your team is key to being successful. And when you have to deliver those difficult conversations, or you have to have those difficult conversations, you have to deliver that tough feedback, you're best bet is to be as tactful as possible. Tact is the art of making a point without making an enemy. Write that down. It is a key aspect of leading a team and managing. And it's so imperative. Delivering feedback. And we talked about on the last episode, we talked about how to deliver feedback effectively. If you haven't heard that episode, I strongly recommend checking it out. But I'll talk about it now. One of the best ways to deliver tactful feedback is just using the what I call the sandwich approach, or some call it the build, break, build approach. And it's really providing feedback, starting with a positive or something that your employee is doing well, and then sprinkling in that constructive criticism or that feedback or that area that that employee needs to improve on, and then following it up with another positive that that employee might be showing. All right. So if their sales are struggling, all right, and you know that they work hard every day. So this is the effort versus results example, right? You have an employee whose effort seems to be through the roof, but their results are questionable, or they're not strong. When using the build, break, build approach, or the sandwich approach, as some refer to it as, that is starting with a positive. So you say, hey, employee John, right? So the employee's name is John. Hey, John, you got a minute? Yes, they got a minute. They come into your office and you shut the door and you say, listen, John, I know you are probably one of the hardest workers I got on the team. You work extremely hard. You're here every morning, 20 minutes early before your schedule just to get prepped. And you are one of the employees that does not leave on the dot. You try to stick around and you're willing to work overtime if needed. One area that I noticed is a little bit has been struggling a little bit has been your sales. I noticed you kind of took a dip last month. What's going on? You know, and then you have that conversation. And then after you have that conversation, you might follow it up with, I really am confident in your abilities. And I know you've been able to dig yourself out of this hole in the past. And I believe in you. I know that you can do it again. All right. So that's one example of using the build, break, build approach, or the sandwich approach. And it's also, the tactful approach to delivering constructive criticism or initiating a conversation about someone's performance. Another tip when being tactful is beyond saying, you need to improve, or using language like that. Like, I need you to do better. I need you to improve, or you're not doing well. Rather than using those words, switching it up, taking a more positive approach, and that's the tactful approach, and saying, you're doing this well, but one of my concerns is, and then filling in the blank with your concern. Or one area that I think there's been a slight challenge in is, and then filling in the blank. So taking that approach allows you to be tactful without being too harsh and affecting the ego of your team. So we talked about tact being the art of making a point without making an enemy. We're going to go to a quick break. And when we get back, I have two bonus quotes for you. So two bonus quotes You are listening to the Higher Learners Podcast with Rudy Racine. As I said, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I got two more lessons in leadership, two bonus lessons in leadership for you. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
Winning at the game of money. Lynn Brown is now offering Full Spectrum Finance, a progressive 12-month program that will help you to navigate through the mechanics of financial expansion. Finally, a financial planner who looks at the full spectrum of money and abundance. Engage you in the mental, physical, and energetic aspects of finance. This is Full Spectrum Finance. Are you ready to get into it? For more information, go to fullspectrumfinance.com.
Tune in to the Psychic Professor's Show, The Voices of Spirit Radio, with international medium and spirit artist Dr. Susan Barnes on Transformation Talk Radio. Featuring a variety of spiritual topics such as psychic art, spiritualism, EVP, psychic development, and mediumship. This hit call-in show provides listeners with breakthrough wisdom to enliven and enlighten their lives. Visit spiritartgallery.net.
Tune in each Friday, 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio.
Ever said to a friend, I am trying to be less stressed. I am hoping to meet someone special. Or how about, I am working on getting a job I love. Hi, I'm Eve from Elite Tarot, host of the weekly show Mainstream Metaphysics Radio. Words like hoping, wanting, and trying may seem innocent. However, they carry with them emotional weight that actually blocks energy. Next time you start to say these words, say instead, I am becoming less stressed. I am looking forward to meeting someone special. I am pursuing a job I love. While your brain may resist, note how your body physically feels as possibility of success suddenly appears. As an intuitive coach and professional tarot card reader, I work with clients worldwide on using energy effectively to embrace joy. If you'd like to schedule a session, please visit my website at elitetarot.com. That's ELITETAROT.com.
Tune in to Synergenetic Living Radio, where Rick and Grace Paris discuss the synergenetic way of life, what it means to truly change your perspective in life, what it means to take control of your life and manifest your true desires. For more information on Rick and Grace Paris and Synergenetic Living, check out synergeneticliving.com. Get clear on the life you desire and the current life you are creating and what is between the two. Synergenetic Living, living life loud.
Wow. Hey, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. I'm telling you, I got to pinch myself some days because when each of us gets called to do something that we so not thought was in our wheelhouse to do for a purpose that's so much greater than us, we get to show up and shine.
If you would like to show up and shine on the Dr. Pat Show as a co-host or sponsor, send us an email to inspire@thedrpatshow.com.
All right, we are back on the Higher Learners Podcast with Rudy Racine. Be sure to join me every first and third Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 12 p.m. Pacific. Today, we are talking about the five lessons in leadership. I'm giving you some valuable information for you professionals out there that are looking to grow into leadership positions. And for those of you that are currently leaders, I'm giving you some nuggets to help you to improve your performance as leaders and build better relationships with your teams. So just to recap, we've gone over five lessons in leadership that I came up with. So the first was don't confuse effort with results. We talked about how working hard is subjective. So you want to define what results you're looking for. We mentioned maturity is lengthening the time between impulse and action. We discussed how to build relationships with your team. So managing from a place of concern rather than blame. And really working to build a connection with your team. We talked about the three sides to every story, and I introduced a fourth side that's always true, and that's how the situation made your employee feel and how they made you feel. And the last one, number five, was tact is the art of making a point without making an enemy. So we encouraged you to be as tactful as possible when talking to your teams when delivering feedback and constructive criticism. So now, in our last segment of the show, I'm going to hit you with two bonus lessons for you to take your leadership to the next level, my friends. All right, so bonus lesson number one is sarcasm is an art. Let it be an art that only some people see. Sarcasm is an art. Let it be an art that only some people see. So this is important for those of you that are not in a leadership position yet, but it's also very important for those of you that are leaders. All right. And it's for two reasons, really. So for those of you that are not in leadership positions yet, sarcasm is an art. Let it be an art that only some people see. The reason that is important is it's always good to be the happy-go-lucky fun person at work. All right. So it's good when you demonstrate that you have a sense of humor, that you have a personality. And if you can demonstrate that in the workplace, that makes the environment a little lighter. But you don't want to make it too light, right? So you don't want it to be too light of an environment where you are struggling to be taken seriously by your team, right? So you want to be mindful of that, and you want to limit the amount of sarcasm you display. All right. So sarcasm is an art. Let it be an art that only some people see. So you might have good relationships with people on your team. Maybe they're the ones that see that sarcasm, and they maybe see that sarcasm only a little bit, only sometimes in the office. But you don't want to become that overly sarcastic employee, because that sarcasm, there's a fine line between sarcasm and being a negative employee. All right. And a negative employee is often someone that you don't want to promote into a leadership position, because that can result in that person being a cancer. All right. So from the employee perspective, think about it. How often are you sarcastic? How often do you respond to different situations with sarcastic remarks? That is important for you to be aware of. It's important that you monitor it. All right. From the leadership perspective, sarcasm is also an art. All right. So it's an art that only some people should see. And the reason I say that from the leadership perspective is your employees need to know when you are being serious, and they need to know when you are joking. And in the event, from a leadership perspective, if you show too much sarcasm, or if you are overly sarcastic in your leadership role, sometimes you muddy the water. Sometimes it's unclear when you are being serious and when you are being sarcastic, or when you're joking. And what makes that the biggest challenge in doing that is when you do need to be serious, when you do need to give an employee some serious feedback or some constructive criticism that's going to help their performance or their career. If they don't take you seriously because you are overly sarcastic and you're oftentimes the one cracking jokes, then that's going to make your job a lot harder. And it's also going to make it difficult for that employee to grow, because they're not going to be able to get that valuable feedback that they need to get from you to improve in different areas. As their leader, as their manager, it's your responsibility to give them that feedback, right? So no one else is really responsible for giving them that feedback or that constructive criticism. So it's a tough task from a leadership perspective. And in the event that you have too much sarcasm, or you show too much sarcasm or wit or humor in the office, sometimes it makes it very difficult for an employee to kind of understand which is which, or be able to filter out when you're being serious or when you're joking. So I stress this so much. I've been in the leadership roles for over 15 years, and I know early on in my career, I like to have a good time. I like to be funny. I like to crack jokes in the office. But when it came time to have conversations with employees about their performance, if I did it too often and I was seen as that jovial, jokester in the office, sometimes it made it an even tougher conversation, because it made it a lot more difficult to turn on that serious manager approach and turn off that serious manager approach. There needs to be a balance. So you want to be mindful of the amount of sarcasm that you showcase in the office. The next point, the next leadership point that I will make is, in my opinion, probably one of the most important. And the reason I say it's the most important is because it helped me to grow. All right. And it has to do with accountability. It's a simple quote, and that quote is blame yourself. All right. So if you are a leader, and something goes wrong, even if you have 10 employees that you can point the finger at, blame yourself. All right? That's where accountability comes into play. And even if you feel adamantly that it is not your fault, if you blame yourself, the next step is figuring out a way to improve so that it doesn't happen again. If you blame others, then that's the easiest way out ever, right? So you blame somebody else. It's their fault. There's nothing you could have done. You know, it's their fault. I don't need to improve. I'm going to stay the same, right? So taking that approach of blaming yourself, it forces you to grow. It forces you to step outside of your comfort zone. It forces you to take different approaches when dealing with problem areas, all right? So even if it's a situation that just seems completely out of your hands, blame yourself. I keep saying it because I think it's so important. And this is what really helped me grow in a leadership role, because I was always looking for different ways, different things that I could have done to impact my company, to impact my team, to impact my fellow coworkers. If they fell short, damn, I should have had that conversation with them. I saw that they were struggling and I didn't take the time out to have a conversation with them. It may sound like I'm beating myself up, and hey, you know what? I might be, and you might be if you blame yourself. But doing that will always put you in a position to grow and put you in a position to do better and to improve. From the employee's perspective, you know, once again, if you are an employee looking to grow into a leadership role, taking that approach is going to, it will only help you. It will only help you be better. It will only help you grow, because you are looking for ways that you could have improved the team. Not only you could have improved your own performance, but if you have a coworker that's struggling and they're at the bottom of the totem pole and they are not doing well, blame yourself, right? Because if you see that, you could have easily had a conversation with them, right? And if you used the tip number 5 that I gave you in the earlier segment, tact is the art of making a point without making an enemy. If you were practicing your tact when you were an employee before getting promoted as a manager, it would put you in a great position. So these are things, these are principles that you can use to help set yourself up to grow into a leadership position. So being tactful, but also blaming yourself, looking at different ways that you can grow or that you can impact the team positively. Those are things that can really help you to advance your career. So as we approach the end of the show, I want to recap all of the principles, the leadership principles that we covered during this episode. I know it was a lot, and I really hope that you were able to walk away with some things that you could do differently. I hope that this episode added value to you in your career and in your leadership. The first leadership principle that we discussed was not confusing effort with results. All right. So always trying to quantify the results that you're looking for so that you and your employee or you and your manager are on the same page, because hard work, as I said, is subjective. We talked about maturity. And maturity in this case, is the way we define it, is maturity is lengthening the time between impulse and action. So if you are able to lengthen that time before you take action or you respond to something impulsively, you are demonstrating that maturity. And within a professional environment, I can tell you that maturity takes you a long way. The third lesson we talked about was just learning to build relationships. So managing from a place of concern and working hard to connect with your team rather than blaming them, right? So it kind of ties into one of the bonus ones, but manage from a place of concern, learn to build relationships. Number 4 was there are 3 sides to every story. We know that, your side, their side, and the truth. But there's that 4th side that is always true and often overlooked. So you want to work on relating to and identifying and focusing on how that situation may have made different employees feel in a certain situation so that you can address it and you can make sure that when you are approaching or having a conversation with an employee, you are taking into account how your approach makes them feel so you can master the best approach when having conversations with employees. Lesson number 5 or principle number 5, tact is the art of making a point without making an enemy. So we talked about delivering constructive criticism, build, break, build, or using the sandwich approach. And then the bonus ones, sarcasm is an art. Let it be an art that only some people see. And last but certainly not least, blame yourself. always look for ways to grow. And with that, my friends, I want to say thank you so much for your time and your attention. You are listening to the Higher Learners Podcast with Rudy Racine. Be sure to join me every first and third Monday, 12 p.m. Pacific time, 3 p.m. Eastern time. And I look forward to you joining me on the next episode. Thank you so much for your time and your attention. Check me out on Higher Learners at Facebook.com. Like Higher Learners at Facebook, at Higher Learners on Instagram, and at Higher_Learners on Twitter. That's Higher spelled H-I-R-E. Thanks so much. Have a wonderful day. I appreciate you.
You've been listening to the Higher Learners Career and Leadership Series, defining success and putting minds to work with Rudy Racine. Rudy will help you craft your personal definition of success, offering support and guidance as you move forward towards your goals. Take the leap. With the right mix of focus and motivation, anything can be achieved. To learn more, tune in every first and third Monday, 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern. To download this podcast and for more information on Rudy Racine and Higher Learners, visit Rudy's site at higherlearners.com. That's H-I-R-E learners.com.